Brooklands Radio Surrey News Review for Friday the 13th of April. A look at the week's local news in Surrey. I'm Graham Laycock, and at the Surrey Advertiser News Desk is journalist William Bradley to discuss this week's local news stories. And first look at some headlines. We've got rising costs at a number of Guildford restaurants, litter pickers collect dumped rubbish, and news on that wife-carrying race in Dorking. All these stories and more as I'm joined by William this afternoon. Good afternoon.
Afternoon, Graham. How are you?
All right, thank you. And you?
Yeah, good, thank you.
All right, lots going on as usual in the Surrey Advertiser.
Yeah, of course.
And shall we start then with the Hunger Games?
Of course, yeah, good place to start, coming up to lunchtime.
Yeah.
So this is the story of rising costs proving hard to swallow for Guildford restaurants. It's the front page of our Guildford edition of the Surrey Ad this week. Just kind of asking the question that are the high rents and the rates ruining the town's centre restaurant trade?
Right, yeah, it's been a big issue with retail trade generally, hasn't there, with a number of big name stores closing branches and
yeah,
so on.
Yeah, I think only yesterday it was something like Carpet Right is closing down.
Yes.
So it's obviously not just restaurants, it's also high street chains as well.
Yes.
But Guildford has been hit with a wave of restaurant closures in kind of the first 3 months of 2018.
Well, right, I hadn't realised that.
Yeah. At least two chains have left the town and several others plan to close or are expecting financial difficulties. I don't know if you've been to the top of Guildford's town centre, but there's kind of Jackson and Rye that closed after
yes.
15 months.
Yep.
Prezzo, which was opposite Jackson and Rye, that's due to shut.
Yes. I think there's a number of Prezzos due to shut around the country, isn't there?
Yeah, I think it's something like 90 a year.
Yeah.
As they try and kind of recoup and save some of the business. We've also got kind of Jamie's Italian, which although is not closing, that's obviously under pressure as well. So the Guildford one is remaining open.
But, you'd think some of these landlords would want to maybe ease things for the retailers to keep some income coming in for them.
I think that's it, and that's kind of what we're asking in this article, is that, you know, chains are leaving due to high rents and rates, and we almost need to bring in new arrivals so we kind of buck the trends. And obviously they're kind of the high rents and stuff, and also it's kind of like the Deliveroo and stuff like that coming in have made it, I suppose, harder for traditional restaurants in the centre.
Indeed, yes. And I mean, I read a survey I think last year saying we'd reached the maximum in terms of coffee shops that are around at the moment. You know, so many of those as well. But yes, it's a general fact that retail trade's been down. It's not a lot down, is it? But enough to tip the balance.
Right.
And as you say, internet shopping and home deliveries are all eating into the traditional. It's, you know, the high street is at risk, isn't it?
It is, but I suppose we do also have to look at the positives. We've got the Tunsgate Court has just opened, and so then we've got the Ivy, our Cozy Club. They've all announced that they're opening in there soon. I think the Ivy has opened.
Yeah.
So there is restaurants
yes.
and new shops opening in certain sections of Guildford, but maybe other sections do need some help.
Yes, indeed, yes. You've got to try and keep the town vibrant. I think they say retail has got to look to making it more of an occasion coming into their stores as well.
To
make it more an experience.
I think it's also kind of keeping that mix of restaurants and
yes.
different shops and stuff so that
yep.
people have got a choice when they come in and they're not just coming in for one thing.
Yeah. Of course, there are other parts of Surrey where there's a new development of shopping centres. Woking's getting a big extension at
yep.
the moment, big hole in the ground at the present time. And
yeah,
and Addleston's new shopping centre is taking shape as well. So, but we'll just have to see all this gets on. Anyway, good luck with that campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've got a story about litter pickers collecting dumped rubbish.
Yeah, this is on. The front page of the Cranley edition has this kind of picture of this mountain of rubbish, and it was collected from residents, about 25 volunteers from the Cranley area, and they helped to clear up the rubbish over the Easter weekend. But actually, in kind of an awkward mishap, there was a delay in collecting the mound of waste, and it was actually reported as a fly tip by another resident on a Tuesday.
Oh, right.
But it wasn't actually a fly tip, it was kind of their collection, of their Easter collection in Ellen's Green.
So right. A bit of confusion there, then.
A little bit of confusion, yeah. But they actually managed to collect 60 bags of waste in only a two-mile stretch of road. So that just kind of shows the extent of rubbish that was there.
That's amazing, isn't it?
It actually included 8 car tyres, 2 empty bottles of vodka, and a nylon tracksuit.
Goodness me. We're an untidy nation, aren't we?
We are, yeah. But so they've done a fantastic job clearing up all this rubbish. And actually, it's now gone now.
Good. Well,
and Waverley Borough Council kind of provided litter, picking equipment, high-vis vests and black bags.
Good, good. The trouble is, it's just keeping it all at bay, isn't it? You know,
and I think it's just keeping having this kind of done regularly. And obviously, people need to stop dumping rubbish. That would also help.
That, well, I was going to say, it's a bit like the problem with graffiti. They always feel you've got to get that cleaned off straight away. Otherwise, it just encourages others to do it. And I suppose it's the
kind
same.
Kind of like
with
a hotbed of, yeah.
Yeah, hotbed, yeah. But it's a job keeping on top of things. Anyway, good to see the volunteers are at it then.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Now, yeah, this is a bit of a surprise, wasn't it? So a stroll by the River Wey, and somebody decides to take a fancy to these artillery shells, and then begins to wonder whether they could be still alive.
Yeah, only on the way home, once they've got the artillery shells in the car. So this was, experts were called after artillery shells were found in the River Wey from the Second World War. So Selina Giddings of Guildford, she was walking with her brother Paul. Paul Edwards, just behind the Spectrum, when they discovered the shells. So they then decided to take them home. But on the way home, Mr. Edwards decided to stop and tell the police about them. And then at that point, then his van was cordoned off and a bomb disposal unit was called.
Right, okay. So that was a bit pretty, you know, so there he is, hoping his van wasn't going to blow up.
Yeah. So the quote from Selina is, as my brother drove home, he saw some on-duty police officers and stopped and said, I think I have something of interest. I think I have a couple of bombs. So I think as soon as you said that, then
you can imagine the look on the policeman's face, can't you?
Yeah. So then that was all cordoned off. They had to kind of wait to see what would happen. And so Surrey Police issued a statement after saying that the police attended, they examined the items, which were found to be Second World War concrete shells, but they did not contain any explosives, and they were subsequently destroyed.
Yeah, indeed. Of course, you know, live ones aren't, well, ones that need disposing of are found still, aren't they, around the place?
Yeah, of course.
I remember London City Airport got stopped for 24 hours recently, didn't it? Because they found a bomb just adjacent to it by the water. And there have been other occasions. I remember a few years ago, a farm in Walton-on-Thames, I think, and they exploded it on spot there because it was a nice big field, you know.
So, yeah, of course. I suppose you can't do that with a van.
No. Well, I don't know. Right. Anyway, from one thing to another, a bit of a disaster at the wife carrying race this year in Dorking.
Yeah, it was. So this was on Sunday. It was the UK wife carrying race, which is in Dorking. And, yeah, it was a story of kind of couples competing for glory as they carry their wife on a kind of assault course. Obviously, it's quite muddy and slightly dangerous. But, yeah, so it's the story of two unlucky competitors who involved in a dramatic incident during the wife carrying race. Christopher Burke slipped and actually dropped his wife just after the competition started around 10:30 on Sunday.
Right, and they never look very elegant in the pictures I've seen and get sorry this race either.
Yeah, we've got about 4 or 5 pictures in the paper. It's on page 3. But so she was the race marshal to kind of describe the accident as unusual. Also told the Surrey Advertiser that Kate was being treated by medics at the scene, and then she was taken to hospital.
Right, yeah, so what a shame, what an end. How badly injured was she then in the end?
I think she was treated at the scene, taken to the hospital on a spinal board. They initially thought she had suffered a cracked rib, but it's now been confirmed that it's kind of sustained ligament damage and bruising.
Right, so pretty painful, but nothing
pretty
broken.
Pretty painful, but not, yeah, that's the way it looks. And this year's race is actually won by Chris Hepworth and Tanisha Prince from West Drayton. They notched up a new wife-carrying course record.
Right.
At 1:37.
Right.
So if there's any couples out there that are looking to break that record, get in training now.
Yes, and don't break any ribs, you know. Most of the wives seem to be sort of upside down with their legs over their husband's shoulders.
Yeah,
seems to be the technique to
And the husband holds the legs, and I think that was the problem with
he let go.
Kate, unfortunately. It was quite a muddy course, and she kind of slipped off.
And I think I'm right in thinking the wives have to wear crash helmets because their heads
sort
of dangling.
Yeah, they do, yeah, they're all,
quite a spectacle, really, isn't it? And to think that it happens in Dorking.
Yeah. But yeah, no, apart from that, it seems like it was a successful race. And we've got, like I said, we've got some fantastic pictures.
Great, okay. Well, thank you, William, for taking us through some of the top stories this week in the various editions of the Advertiser. Of course,
no problem at all.
Find out all more over the many pages of each
edition.
Yeah,
we've actually also got kind of a borough crime rate mapped out.
Oh, have you?
For Guildford, and we've got one for Ambridge as well. So that's some quite interesting kind of statistics for you as well. Okay. The stuff just here, so there was almost 13,000 crimes reported in Guildford in 2017, which is the equivalent of 250 a week.
That is a lot, isn't it?
It does seem like a lot, yeah.
Goodness me. And what's Elbridge like then? Is that similar or?
We'll have to.
No, don't check. Worry if you haven't got it in front of you. Don't worry now. Anyway, get the paper and delve into the detail and you can find out more there.
Yes, yeah, there's some interesting statistics. We've kind of got the top 10 of each area, so that's worth checking out.
Ah, right. And is there an upward or downward trend, I wonder? We'll find out in the statistics, I'm sure. Right, well, thank you, William, very much for all that, and we look forward to talking again soon.
No problem, Graham. Thanks very much. Have a nice day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This has been Brooklyn's Radio News Review with Graham Laycock and from the Surrey Advertiser, William Bradley. And you can hear the Surrey News Review every Friday at 1 and 7pm on Brooklyn's Radio. It's compiled by the Surrey Advertiser, and you can keep up to date at getsurrey.co.uk.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, why not keep up to date with the Sound of Surrey by listening live at brooklandsradio.co.uk or through our free mobile app.